Welcome to St. John's Sermons, a podcast from St. John's Lutheran Church, North Prairie, Wisconsin, a congregation of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We offer this podcast with the loving encouragement to use it as a supplement to your own regular reception of the Lord's gifts of forgiveness and life in word and sacrament on the Lord's Day. The Lord bless your hearing of these sermons. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Holy Gospel. Dear Nicholas, Adam, Nathan, Lindsay, and Tira, family and friends, and friends in Christ and hearers of the Word, why do we confirm? That's a really good question, and I get asked it more often than people realize. I think as time has gone on, a lot of confusion has arisen about confirmation. And people ask the question largely because of that confusion. It's hard to find a verse in the Bible that says, "Thou shalt confirm." You can find verses in the Bible that say, "Thou shalt baptize." Indeed, when Jesus gives the command to make disciples, he says, "You do that two ways. Baptizing and teaching." And it's indeed in connection with the teaching that we confirm. Confirmation is not really the number of things that we think it is. It's not, for instance, a ticket to the Lord's Supper. There's no connection between that and the Lord's Supper. It's not a rite of passage. It's not, "Hey, you're 14 now. And now you're at a new stage in life." It's also not necessarily a graduation. So why do we confirm? You know, it's ironic, but this year's confirmation lands on really one of the great Sundays of the church year. I think a lot of every Sunday going Christians sort of get this particular week of the church year. They sort of look forward to it. It's the one Sunday after Easter that people sort of know is coming. The fourth Sunday of Easter is called Good Shepherd Sunday. The theme in most of the readings is the idea of Christ as the Good Shepherd, the fulfillment of the 23rd Psalm. And it seems to me, in light of that, we have an answer to the question I led with. Why do we confirm? Let me put another analogy to it. In utero, a baby still hears. Some dads and moms have adopted the practice of reading to a baby in utero. We actually did that with our first. I read Winnie the Pooh to Matthew in utero. And I know that the very first time I held him after he was born, he was a little fussy. He had kind of an interesting ride into this life. And then I took him in my arms and I started talking to him, and immediately he calmed down. He knew that voice. And he knew his mom's voice too. He'd been hearing it as soon as his ears had developed. What, 8 months, 9 months, somewhere in there? He'd been hearing it. He'd become accustomed to it even in the womb, and he already knew that voice. And maybe some of you have had those experiences right after a birth where you held baby for the first time, you started talking to baby, and baby immediately acted like he or she knew who he or she was dealing with because they recognized the voice. I just had the chance to do that again recently in the midst of all the trauma with Jonathan. He knew his dad's voice. That was the voice he heard for a while there in the NICU at Waukesha Memorial. His dad's voice. That's why we confirm. You see, we confirm so that these young'uns might have started to learn their Good Shepherd's voice. The sound of their Good Shepherd's voice. Now notice how I stated that. That they might have started to learn that voice. confirmation is not necessarily them or us saying, "Now you know that voice, you're done." No, that voice is a voice that's there for a lifetime. While the baby in utero gets to know mom and dad's voice, under normal circumstances, barring any unforeseen things, the baby in utero often outlives the voice of mom and dad. And yet the voice of mom and dad remains in the memory long after they're gone. And it's an important voice that remains in the memory all the days of our lives. And that's exactly how it is with Jesus. Because you see, that's the voice we want in our ears all the time. That's the voice of the one who truly loves us. There are so many voices, so many thoughts, so many opinions out there in the world today. But there's only one voice of one Lord and Savior, one good shepherd, who loves you, who would lay down his life for you, who indeed loves you to death. And that's the voice we pray today, and I pray every day as a pastor, that you're hearing all the days of your life. All those other voices don't really love you the way this one does, the voice of the Good Shepherd. You know, the context of Jesus' words in our gospel is rather fascinating. There's no break in the narrative between John 9 and John 10, the Good Shepherd stuff. So what the context in which Jesus starts talking about being the Good Shepherd is actually the whole story in John chapter 9. I don't think people realize this. At the beginning of John chapter 9, Jesus is accosted by a blind man, and he heals him. Now, it just so happens that he healed him on the Sabbath, and he told the man to go to the priests to show them that he was healed. And the priests figure out that he was healed on the Sabbath, and they're not happy about it, because you're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. Jesus had violated the law, and they wanted to get the man who'd just been healed and who was excited about having sight for the first time in his life to denounce Jesus as having healed him on the Sabbath day. And the man says, essentially, I'm paraphrasing just a little bit, he says to the religious leaders, "Can't you just be happy for me? You were born in sin, and so are your parents." They call their parents. The religious leaders call this man's parents in front of them, expecting to get the same denunciation. And they look at him like, "Our son is seeing for the first time in his life. Clearly this man's pretty special. Maybe he's even the Son of God." And the Pharisees again denounce the parents. And then they seek out Jesus himself. And the narrative never breaks. Right at the beginning, he isolates the fact that the religious leaders are more sinful than they let on. And then he goes into the whole talk about, "I am the Good Shepherd." It's all seamless. It's all woven together. And it's emphatic. He says, "I am the Good Shepherd." He's pointing at himself. And the contrast is already there. You hear the contrast in the language of our text. He talks about the hired hands. What's the problem with the hired hands? They don't care. All the other voices out there in the world that want to lead you down whatever path they want to lead you down, do they really care? I mean, it's an election year. Do the candidates that run for president really care for you or your vote? I mean, really, it doesn't matter who. I don't have to sit and endorse or run down either one. That's the way it operates. But not here. Not in this building, not in the church. In the church, we hear the voice of the one voice that loves you, that comes from the one who loves you. Like the baby being held in the parents' arms for the first time, the sheep being cradled in the arms of the Good Shepherd is hearing the voice that is trained to know. That's how it works. You see, back in Jesus' time, shepherding was kind of a collective bargain. Shepherds got together and they put all their sheep together in one field during the day. But at the end of the day, they had to take their sheep back. How did they sort them all out? By voice. The sheep knew where to go because they knew the voice of their shepherd four or five shepherds might have their flocks all in one spot. But at the end of the day, the shepherd would start calling out, doing the shepherd sounds that the shepherds do, and the sheep knew which shepherd to go to. But for you and for me, it's not a matter of which shepherd are we going to go to. When we're confirmed in the faith, when we were confirmed in the faith, when these young ones will be confirmed in a few minutes, it's now not about which way are you going to go. There's only one good shepherd. There's only one whose voice is the one, is the voice of the one who truly loves you. There's only one who laid down his life for you to save you from your sins. Your parents would do that for you. I know that. But they can't save you from your sins by doing that. Only one can. This is why we confirm. To get you to start to recognize the voice of your one good shepherd. Confirmands, Nicholas, Adam, Nathan, Lindsay, Tira. When you're 14, maybe you don't always appreciate this, and that was me when I was that age. But you're going to need this voice. You're going to need this voice all the days of your life. We all share a common sinful nature. We all make mistakes. We say things we regret later. We do things we regret later. How do we go on? How do we move on? We talked about that in confirmation class. Through the water of our baptism, we're able to drown our sinful nature every day and go forward unhindered by what we have done in the past. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed those transgressions from us. Our good shepherd who calls us into his sheepfold does not want us living day by day like that. He wants us living day by day free from those things that burden us. And then there are those times when trouble strikes. Perhaps through no fault of our own, but it still strikes. We need that voice that day too. You know, Jesus the Good Shepherd is not a spiritual ambulance service. We need him every day, not just when trouble strikes. But when trouble strikes, the Jesus whose voice we hear every day becomes an even more comforting, calming, soothing voice. You're still mine. You still belong to me. We may be racked in pain. We may be in hospital beds. We may be sick. Lord only knows. But we still belong to him. That's a voice we need to hear. On those days when we're feeling invincible, it's still the voice we need to hear. Because we are his sheep. We are utterly dependent on him. We may feel we're invincible, but that may be the wolf talking to us too, and it's the shepherd's voice that reminds us what we need. We will never keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. We are not invincible. This life does come to its end, but we have hope. We have hope from the Good Shepherd, from the voice of the only one who loves us to death and loves us right into eternal life with him. You see, that shepherd-sheep analogy that Jesus drags out of the Old Testament and then brings forward at this point where the Pharisees and the religious leaders won't let a blind man enjoy his new sight. That shepherd-sheep analogy reminds us that Jesus wants us to be his sheep always. He wants us to be his every day. He wants no separation from us and him. And that the reason we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday in the middle of the Easter season is because that's a significant part of the Easter message. Jesus is risen so that he might not be separated from us. He then gave us the command, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. And lo, I am with you always, he throws the promise in, even to the end of the age. So even when we're not so sure he's there, that's only us. The wolf loves to get us thinking that way. But his voice is the one we need today and every day. So it's not a rite of passage. You'll be receiving the sacrament for the first time in a few minutes, but this isn't your ticket necessarily to that either. This is the way to look at today. Today is the first day of the rest of your lives. One could argue that in God's grace, every day is the first day of the rest of our lives because we get to put to death the sinful nature every day and live as a new person. But on this confirmation day, this is the way to look at it. Why do we confirm? So that now that you know the voice of your Savior, you have that voice every day. And just like the baby in the arms of the parents, in the arms of the Good Shepherd hearing that voice, you are in a safe place. His will for you is eternal. His love for you is everlasting. And His grace knows no bounds. My prayer for you is that in the care of the Good Shepherd, all those wonderful phrases of the 23rd Psalm would be true for you all the days of your life, but especially one. My favorite phrase in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," is actually down around verse 5. "My cup overflows." That's the God you and I worship. All the other gods, all the other messages encourage you to measure up, tell you to save yourself. This God pours into your cup day after day after day. He speaks into your ears day after day after day. And in His grace, He's always giving you more than you need. I love the analogy of God as a bad waiter. He's filling your cup and not looking at what He's doing. And your cup runs over again and again and again. And while we might say, "Fire that waiter," he's not getting a very good tip. Your good shepherd is marked by that sort of inattention to limits. His love for you knows no limits. His grace for you knows no limits. And His care for you knows no limits on all the days of your life. And then when freed from this life and in His eternal kingdom, the life that you have, no limits, eternal, unending, given to you through the words spoken by the voice of the only one who loves you to death. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This podcast is a service of St. John's Lutheran Church in North Prairie, Wisconsin. For more information, including location, service times, and links to other Lutheran agencies, please visit our website at www.stjohnsnp.org. That's www.stjohnsnp.org. Theme music performed by Mr. Philip Magnus.